our worship time this morning. Thank you. Good morning. Okay, every time I'm up here, we do this again. Can we do that again? Good morning. Oh, we are awake this morning. It is indeed good to be with you. It is good to be in this place where God is present among us. I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of announcements this morning. Our next Lenten concert will be on March the 1st. Laura Webb and Ben Troxler, who are both members of our congregation, will be performing. Laura is a soprano, and Ben will be playing the piano. You need to make a reservation for lunch by Wednesday at noon, and you can see your bulletin insert for more details. On March the 4th at 4:30 p.m., Vocal Arts Nashville will offer a concert in our fourth story theater. They are a professional choral ensemble, and they will be featuring the work of Bach and Brahms, and featuring Matt Phelps and West End member Marilyn Shields Wilsey, among others. Now is the time to prepare our hearts and minds to worship. May we be still and know that God is God.
Thank you. very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Knowing that the God of Jacob is our refuge, let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Most gracious God, you have created us to be in relationship with you and with one another. You have given us the gift of prayer that we might commune with you and be transformed into your likeness. Yet we neglect and dismiss your gift. We tell ourselves that we are too busy. We convince ourselves that we do not know how to pray. Forgive us, O God. Help us to be still and to trust that you will be there when we turn to you in prayer. Lead us into prayer for the world, for others, and for ourselves. Amen. Hear what comforting words our Lord said to all those who turn to him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and received. Thanks be to God. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. As we mentioned last week, during this season of the year, if you'd rather not shake hands but would rather tap on the shoulder or elbow bump or fist bump, you are welcome to do that as well. The peace of Christ be with you. Church is the baptism of children. This morning, John and Elizabeth McGuire bring their daughter, Lucy May McGuire, to God before the community of faith for the sacrament of baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. John and Elizabeth, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? So say I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? So say I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so say I will. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround her with a community of love and forgiveness
that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, and he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
By what name do we baptize this child?
Lucy May McGuire.
Lucy May, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gather around and lay hands on Lucy. Holy God, may the Holy Spirit work within Lucy May, that being born through water and the Spirit, she may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lucy May, I want to introduce you to your new church family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Lucy May. She's already part of our church, but today we're celebrating that God has marked her as a child of God, and she will be part of our congregation as all of you help her to know what it is to follow Jesus.
So my brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand and face Lucy May, as now it is our joy to welcome our sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Lucy May to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Lucy May, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there is a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but then later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The word of God for the people of God.
Kids who'd like to come forward, you're welcome to bring an adult with you if that's helpful. Good morning. Today, we are talking about prayer. How many of you pray? Do you ever pray? What are some of the ways that we pray? Do any of you pray before a meal at your house? Some of you? You pray at your house? Do you pray before bed? Some of you? Mm-hmm. Do some of you pray by holding your hands like this? Mm-hmm. Do some of you pray by holding your hands like this? At our house, when we pray before a meal, we hold hands with each other. Do any of you do that? Some of you, yeah. There are all sorts of different kinds of ways to pray, aren't there? And you know what? It doesn't really matter to God how we pray. What really matters to God is that we pray. Prayer is talking to God. And sometimes I think people think that we have to talk to God in a certain way. But you know what? I think God would rather us talk to God like we'd talk to a friend or someone we love than not talk to God at all. So when we pray this week, let's remember that it doesn't matter how we pray. It doesn't matter what words we use. God wants us to pray. And when we pray, God helps us to remember that God loves us, and God loves all of these people, and God loves everyone in the whole wide world. Let's have a prayer together right now, shall we? God, we give you thanks that you want to talk to us. We hope that you will help us this week to know and remember to pray. We hope that you will help us to remember that you love us, and that you love everyone in the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Of you who weren't here last Sunday, we began a sermon series for Lent called Why. And last week, Carol preached on the question, why gather? If you haven't had a chance to see that, you can go watch it on the website, and I encourage you to do that. But today we turn to the question, why pray? So before we do anything else, let's pray. Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I've been hearing it again. Last week, in the wake of yet another act of violence at a school, I begin to hear that phrase again. Thoughts and prayers. People sent their thoughts and prayers to the victims and their families. And like I think a lot of folks, I began to get angry. We toss that word around a lot, prayer. We in the Christian community sometimes use it almost flippantly when someone is suffering. I'll pray for you, or oh, I'll be sure to keep them in my prayers. It's something to say when we're at a loss, when we don't know what else to do. Am I the only one who does this? Or can any of you relate? The problem is we can use prayer as a way to put a person or situation out of our minds, to make ourselves feel better, to tell ourselves that we've done something about that situation, and so now we can get on with our day guilt-free. If we say a quick prayer, then we no longer need to feel responsible for the person or situation. We've given them over to God, after all. And prayer becomes an empty platitude, a cliche that gets us out of feeling uncomfortable. When we hide behind our prayers, they can become an excuse not to act. But, on the other hand, when we're so consumed with the work of doing, when we're so bent on our agenda that we neglect our prayer lives, we can also devalue prayer. It becomes a throwaway practice, something we do if and when we happen to have the time, and we rarely have the time. I'm afraid I'm guilty of that one too. Even when our work is justice-seeking, kingdom-proclaiming, good-news-sharing work, we run the risk of burning out and doing harm to ourselves and others if we're not grounding ourselves in prayer. Peter Story is a South African pastor and author, and he says that there is no understanding of the Christian life and the life of faith without prayer. So we have this tension between action and prayer. And I think that this tension is at the heart of our scripture lesson this morning. Biblical interpreters have long argued over the meaning of this passage. From the beginning, Luke, who is our narrator, tells us what it's about. He says, Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. And there you have it, these interpreters argue, plain and simple. The parable is about praying consistently. It's pretty hard to argue with that, right? But it is rather unusual for us to know what a parable is about before Jesus tells us the parable. Usually, Jesus tells a parable, and then we all sit around scratching our heads, wondering what the heck he meant. Other interpreters have argued that we need to look beyond that first line and examine the actual parable. In this story, we're introduced to a judge and a widow. The judge's job is to declare God's judgment in disputes among the people. But he's corrupt. He doesn't care about God or anybody. And the widow is quite literally at his mercy. In her world, she can't even inherit her husband's estate. And there is no jury of her peers to see things from her perspective. So perhaps because she's at the end of her rope and has nothing to lose, she pleads for justice. And at first, the judge won't budge. Why should he? What does he have to gain by taking her side? But the widow persists. She keeps badgering him, and eventually he relents. And will God not grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Jesus asks. Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. Some interpreters have argued that this parable is actually less about how often we approach God in prayer and more about who God is. Unlike that unjust judge, our God has compassion on the oppressed. Our God, in fact, prioritizes the needs of the widows and the orphans and the strangers over the property interests of the privileged. And by telling this parable, Jesus was trying to help his listeners remember that we're called to do the same. So which is it? Is this text about our need to pray or about our need to seek justice? Should we be focused on our prayer life or on the work of caring for the oppressed? Is it this or is it that? Well, I like compromise. What if the answer is yes? What if this text is both about our need to pray and about our need to seek justice? What if we're called both to focus on our prayer life and to work for the oppressed? Why does it have to be either or? It seems to me that all of us could benefit from a call to prayer. We live in a fast-paced culture, and it's easy to lose sight of the importance of being still and knowing that God is God. Peter's story tells of a time when President Nelson Mandela wanted to speak with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Now, Archbishop Tutu had a regular practice of going away on silent retreats. And one day, he was off on one of these retreats, and a message came to the retreat center that President Mandela wanted to speak with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And the nuns sent a message back saying, "We're sorry, but he can't come to the phone. He's in retreat." Well, this didn't satisfy the folks in Pretoria, and the president's secretary called again and said, "I don't think you understand. This is the state president calling, and he urgently wants to speak with Archbishop Tutu." And the message came back again, "We're sorry, but he's in retreat and he can't speak with anybody." Finally, getting on the phone with one of the nuns, the president's secretary said, "I don't think you understand." And the nun's reply was, "No, I don't think you understand. President Mandela is a Methodist, and Archbishop Tutu is an Anglican, and Methodists don't understand silent retreats very well. He's talking to God at the moment." Perhaps we Methodists especially need a reminder that we're called to talk to God. But sometimes I think we get hung up on doing it right. We have this image in our head of those silent retreats, and we can't possibly carve out that kind of time and space in our lives. And maybe sometimes we don't really want to. Or sometimes I think we have to have the right words. We think we need to have the right words, or we think we need to be good enough before we can approach God. So we don't do it at all. But I want you to hear this because I think it's important. Prayer is not about the right space or the right words or the right behaviors. Prayer is not an obligation. It's an invitation. Prayer is an invitation to enjoy the presence of God, to experience the grace and love of God in our lives. Jen Hatmaker is an author and speaker, and she says that prayer is God trying to heal our hearts. It's a gift. It's a means of grace, and it can happen whenever, wherever, and however. It can be sitting at a stoplight and taking a few breaths and resting in God's peace. It can be journaling at the end of the day and thinking back over what happened and recognizing those places where God was present in our lives. Prayer can be pausing in the midst of playing with our kids or hanging out with our friends and just simply giving thanks for that moment. We don't need special words or special places. We just need to be with God, to open ourselves to God's presence and allow God to have access to our hearts. The Quakers have a term for prayer. They call it holding in the light. Author Julie McCarty says that in Quaker spirituality, the image of light represents the mysterious presence of God. Friends might describe the light as the Holy Spirit, the inward light, Christ in you, or that of God in everyone. To hold someone in the light is to seek through prayer to bring that person into deeper contact with the divine presence. So, when we pray, we open ourselves to the gift of God's grace. And when we pray for others, we open our hearts to their suffering so that they might be enfolded in the healing light of Christ. Prayer is a gift through which God can bring healing not only to us, but to the whole of creation. And if prayer helps to bring healing, if it deepens our faith, then it naturally shapes and forms our hearts and minds into the likeness of Christ. The more time we spend with Christ, the more we resemble Christ. This may be a silly example, but I grew up in Michigan, and when I first moved here to Nashville, people would comment about my accent. And I wanted to say, I don't have an accent. You have an accent. But of course, then people would have just shaken their heads and said, bless her heart. But now, I've lived here in Nashville for over 12 years, and when I go north to Michigan, I can hear that northern accent in my friends and family. And they've begun to say to me, you sound like you're from the South. I'm slowly being transformed into a Southerner, y'all. When we spend time with God, our hearts and minds are transformed. God's priorities become our priorities. The people Jesus loves become the people we love. And I hate to say it, folks, but Jesus loved some pretty seedy characters. This is not an easy, happy-go-lucky kind of love. This is a down-in-the-trenches, awkward and uncomfortable kind of love. It's the kind of love that calls us out from our complacency and moves us to action on behalf of others. It's the kind of love that if we're not careful and if we're not grounded in prayer, we might eventually burn out and lose heart. But Jesus told them this parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Friends, in this season of Lent, may we pray not out of obligation, but as a response to God's invitation. May we pray for one another and our world, not as an excuse not to act, but as a way of holding others and their suffering in the healing light of Christ. And when we're called to act for justice, and we will be called, may we be grounded in a life of prayer that sustains us for the long haul and brings healing to the whole of creation. May it be so. Amen. Will you stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer requests to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. The flowers on the altar are given by John and Elizabeth McGuire in honor of Peaches Blank and Lisa Grubbs, two loving godmothers to Lucy May. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Today we will be sharing prayers of the people in a different way. I will begin by sharing a brief prayer, then leaving room for silence. After a moment, we will sing number 490, which is also printed in your bulletin. After the sung response, another prayer leader will share a brief prayer, followed by silence and the sung response again. I will close the prayer. Let us pray together. In this time of Lent, we remember all those who are journeying through the wilderness of their lives, unsure of where they are going, afraid and lonely. Help them be aware of your continued presence with them always. Strengthen those who feel weak in their thoughts or actions, assuring them that they are held in love's hand.
Whose thoughts are hard to calm, whose bodies cannot catch a breath.
Mm-hmm. touch the hearts of those who do violence, that they might change their minds and seek peace instead of destruction.
Our resolve to do what's right in the presence of injustice. Help us to sow seeds of peace, your peace, such that they might grow and multiply throughout your good creation. Eternal God, every week we affirm that we know you are with us, but sometimes it can be hard to feel you here. We look for signs, hoping to catch a glimpse of your fingerprints on this world, on our lives. We utter questions to which there are no easy answers, and we tune our ears to hear you more clearly. God, help us look to you for guidance in every area of our lives, bearing our hearts before you so that you may touch us with your light and constant love. Keep us close to you in our trials and in our affirmations, in our fears and our confidences, in our pain and our joy. Remind us of your presence. And now, having shared our minds and hearts with the Holy One, let us join together in praying the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Holy God, we have come before you with gratitude for the ways you have gotten us safe thus far, for the ways you have led us toward a full life in the community of this church. We are grateful for the abundant blessings which you have bestowed on us, whether we experience them in our family, our friends, our finances, our talents, our hospitality, our volunteerism, and our love. Help us this day to share of our resources boldly and generously, so that you might show us how to be your people and how to do your work in this church, in this city, and in this world. Amen.
Please be seated, and I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. First person I'd like to introduce you to is Leslie Homra McWilliams. Leslie is a hospital consultant with the Center for Healthcare Planning, and she's transferring from Bellmead United Methodist Church here in Nashville. Next, we have Alana Seibert Hatalski and Daniel Hatalski. They have two daughters, as you can see. Emmeline is 2 years old, and Eloise is just about 7 months old. Daniel is a claims supervisor with Farmers Insurance, and Alana is a psychologist with the VA. Daniel's transferring from Central United Methodist Church in Asheville, North Carolina, and Alana is transferring from St. James Episcopal Church in Ormond Beach, Florida. Alana, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Leslie, Daniel, Alana, Emmeline, and Eloise are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these newest members through the doors to your right following this service. And may God, the God of all grace, strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
friends, may you go forth this week enfolded in the healing light of Christ. And may all of us go to God in prayer, holding up the entire world in that healing light. Amen.